Fine, so we'll begin with the guidelines for preparing and cleaning for Pesach. So obviously the goal of preparing for Pesach is to be able to go into Pesach feeling happy and excited that this amazing Yontif is here. Which obviously it can be hard and stressful. But a little planning beforehand, we're still a week beforehand. We can make it, easier to be able to come to Pesach in a more excited way. And even if we're tired and worn out, but at least we can feel like, look what we did for Hashem when we sit down to the Seder, that we put all our koichos into preparing for Pesach. Now, when people used to live in a one-room apartment, so then it was feasible to scrub the walls in order to remove every speck of chametz. So then there won't be even a mashu left. However, nowadays we have larger apartments, or even houses, and we have many appliances. So to start scrubbing everything down is just going to tire ourselves out, causing us not to enjoy the Seder, and to bring us to not a good feeling for Pesach. So therefore, we can try to focus on what we need to do during the cleaning. So what we have to keep in mind is that besides the iser of eating and benefiting from chametz on Pesach, there's also an iser to own chametz. Now this iser of owning chametz only applies to pieces of chametz which are the size of a kezayis. A kezayis is if you take one of the small matchboxes, the amount that you'll be able to fit into that small matchbox. That's the issur. The issur of owning chametz is on pieces which are the size of a kezayis. And it's on this that we need to get rid of. We need to either burn it, sell it to a guy. We need to get rid of it. However, on pieces smaller than the kezayis, it's not included in the iser of owning chametz on Pesach, but there's the chashash, there's what the Rabbanim were worried about, that one may come to eat this chametz by mistake. Because keep in mind, chametz is something which throughout the year we're used to eating. Comes Pesach and all of a sudden we can't eat it. And the iser achila, the iser of eating chametz, is even on a mashu, even on a speck of chametz, was not allowed to eat. So even though we said owning chametz is the size of a kezayis, but eating chametz is even a small amount, less than a kezayis, was not allowed to eat. So we have over here, we're focusing on getting rid of any pieces of chametz which are the size of a kezayis, and if it's less than a kezayis, any piece of chametz which one could by mistake come to eat on Pesach. For example, if there's a Cheerio or a piece of a pretzel or a piece of a cookie lying around, those are things which are smaller pieces, but one could by mistake just pick it up and put it into their mouth and come to eat it on Pesach without thinking. Therefore, any crumbs, which is for sure in a dirty area or dusty, or even pieces of chametz, which are not clean, they're just even a drop dirty, there's no worry that one will come to eat that. So we're not searching for that. We're not trying to get rid of that. That's not what we're looking for. So the bottom line is, we're focusing on the rooms where chametz might have been brought into, and we're focusing on getting rid of any big pieces of chametz or small pieces of chametz which one could by mistake come to eat on Pesach. Now, during the cleaning, as we clean the rooms, before we put things back onto their shelves or back into their places, we check, we look, okay, there's no chametz over here, and then we put things back into its place. So that all makes, and by the day, by the daylight, at night by the electricity, we look carefully to see that there's no chametz there. So that all that makes it easier for the Bedikas Chametz. To the point where when your husband is doing the Bedikah the night before Pesach, what he's doing is he's just basically going through the house, making sure that we clean properly each room and all the places which need to be clean, and that if there was any pieces of chametz over there, we got rid of it. And if we're not getting rid of it, if we're saving it to sell it to the guy, so then we're sealing off properly those cabinets, those closets. If it's a room, we're sealing off the room. That's what he's doing by Bedikas Chametz. He's just like sort of going on a checklist, making sure that everything was done properly. And if something wasn't done properly, so now we'll be taken care of. So that's the goal of the cleaning, to get to that point that the Bedikah will be able to flow very easily. Now, based on these rules, so any place where chametz may be stuck to it, like chairs, tables, or a couch, all you need to do is take a wet cloth with any cleaning agent. Any soap is fine. There's no need for bleach at all. You could take that out of your... There's no need for bleach. Any soap is fine. Just to wipe over them. And this will make whatever may be stuck to them not edible. And then we are not worried about someone coming to eat it by mistake. It's unnecessary to take these things apart. No one needs to take apart the chairs. No one needs to take apart the table or the couch. Just to go over it with a wet cloth, with any cleaning agent, that's fine. There's no need to clean the sfarim and books, since no one's eating the crumbs that are left in them. However, it's suggested that if you know that there's a sefer or a book that one plans to bring to the table where you'll be eating, so that book or that sefer, you'll check over beforehand just to make sure there's no crumbs in it, because not that worried that you might come to eat the crumb from the book, but it might fall into the food at the table when you're sitting at the table. Or when you bring these books or sfarim to the table, so you just spread out another cloth, a tablecloth or a bag on the table, and you put the book on top of it. When you finish, you take off that covering. Benches, which are used at the Suda, and it's very common for chametz to be stuck onto it, so then they should be put away for Pesach and have separate benches for Pesach. Clothing, as long as the clothing was washed with detergent, so then no checking of the clothing is required. Because again, whatever dirt or crumbs may be left in the clothing, no one's sticking their hand in and eating those crumbs. They're already they're dirty. And they went through the wash and had detergent in it, so no one has to really check. If you have a coat pocket or children's coat that has been washed, but still, you may have put a piece of chametz into it, so then that should be checked for chametz before Pesach. But the regular clothing, that there's no reason why one has to go through each article and check each one. In the kitchen and the dining room table should be washed well with soap. The table then be covered with any type of cover, even a plastic tablecloth, or put the tablecloth on top of, and then you put the tablecloth on top of this cover. There's no need to kasher the tables. The idea over here is that since we're eating at the table, so we don't want even a small amount of chametz that might have been stuck to the table to get into our food. So therefore, it's enough just to wash down the table without taking it apart, and then just covering it with a cover, and then you put the tablecloth over the cover. When it comes to closets, clothing closets, so then the lower shelves that can be reached by children holding food should be emptied, washed down once, and then just look it over. You don't see any pieces of chametz over there. It's fine. You put the clothing back on. The higher shelves do not need cleaning at all. And again, any utensils or any kitchen items which are not going to be used for Pesach, which are normally used for chametz and not going to be used for Pesach, or any food, any chametz which we're putting away, we're selling to the guy, or when we're not using it for Pesach, should be put away, closed, sealed, and shut. Now, so that's throughout the house. In the kitchen is probably the most important room to clean in the house. We're extra concerned over there that there should not be any chametz at all, since it's the place where the Pesach food will be prepared. And like we say, even a slight amount of chametz, if it's mistakenly eaten, it's an issa of eating chametz on Pesach. So over there we have to be more careful. Towels, oven mitts, tablecloths that we use with chametz should be washed with detergent and then maybe used for Pesach. That's enough. The pantry shelves in the kitchen, so they should be emptied and clean them well. And there's no need to cover them. If you worry that you didn't clean it well, so then if you store there normally flour or something that's powdery and it's hard to clean it well, so then you could cover it. But once you cleaned it well, there's no need to cover it. You wash it down once, again just with plain soap and a wet cloth, and that should be enough. Countertops also washed down. Now countertops either should be kashered. You clean it well and then pour boiling water on it, or maybe covered. But one does not need to do both. One does not need to kasher it and cover it. It's either or. Either kasher it or cover it, but one does not have to do both. Again, if one has the minig or feels more comfortable doing it, okay, but api halacha, there's no need to do both. The backsplash of by the counters or wherever, maybe, again, clean it well. And that's enough. No need to cover it, unless by you things drip from the wall down. So then you'll cover it. But otherwise, there's no reason to cover it. The refrigerator and the freezer. So again, we're storing food in the refrigerator and the freezer. And sometimes things spill and leave crumbs. So here also has to be cleaned very well, especially if it's glass shelves. So you clean it well. It's not necessary to cover the shelves unless it was hard to clean well. And if someone's leaving chametz in the freezer, so if it's the same freezer that they're using or they're leaving chametz in the refrigerator that they're selling to the guy, so what they should do is they should either close off that whole shelf or put it into a box, not just a bag, but into a box, seal the box, and it says on a chametz on all the sides of it, like this, one won't come to eat it by mistake. That's a refrigerator and a fridge and a freezer. A sink. So if the sink's made from porcelain or enamel, so then one cannot kasher it. So then you buy the sink inserts. And you use the sink insert. If it's a stainless steel sink, so then it may be kashered. The way to kasher the sink is that the sink should be, the sink should not be used with hot chametz for 24 hours before kashering, and after that 24-hour period to boil up water, and while the water is boiling to pour it onto the sink. Most likely, it will take 2 or 3 times to get all parts of the sink. So what you need to do is you pour it onto one part of the sink, the wall, and then you wait and you dry it off, and then you do the next part and then the next part. But it should be dry in between each time that you pour the boiling water, because if the water is left from before, it will cool off the boiling water when you pour the boiling water onto it. That's the sink itself. The faucet, there's no need to cover the faucet. Just pour hot water on it. What will be even better is if you turn on the hot water, and as the hot water is coming out, you pour hot water onto the faucet at the same time when the hot water is coming out. That's even better, but it's enough just to pour hot water over it. Now, the stovetop. The stovetop is made up of there's the floor of the stovetop, the island, and then there's the burners, and then there's the grates. So now, the burners and the grates may be kashid, and the floor of the stovetop needs to be covered. It should be covered with some, with foil, with silver foil, with thick silver foil to cover the floor of the stovetop, and the burners and grates should be kashid. Now, to kashid the burners and the grates, so either it could be done by putting it into a self-clean oven and doing one round of self-clean and we'll kasha the burners and the grates. Or, if one doesn't have that, so probably the simplest way of doing it is by turning on 3 or 4 fires and then taking a blech. And if you can get a Pesach blech, it's better to put a blech on top of the grates and leave it on for 10-15 minutes. And it'll turn very, very hot. It'll spread the heat out throughout the grates. The grates will turn very, very hot. And that will kasha the grates with the burners. And then you can just use these grates and burners on Pesach. But you have to be very careful because it really gets very, very hot. So Eitz would be is to... Most ovens have a switch on the side, a main switch to switch off the gas, switch on and off the gas. So instead of going to the knobs, which are going to be very hot, just to flip off the switch of the gas will stop flowing to the fire. The fire will go out by itself, and then you can come back later and be cool enough to just turn it off. That will kasha the grates and the burners. We have a blech that's already black because many times the blech comes black, so anyone wants to borrow can borrow it. Now the oven itself, if one has self-clean, so then they should use the self-clean mode to kasha the oven and again put the grates and the burners from the stovetop into the oven and we'll all kasha together. If one does not have a self-clean oven, so then there's a discussion among the Paiskim if they may be kashid. Many Paiskim, there are many Paiskim that suggest that one should buy a convection oven or a big toast oven instead of kashering the regular oven. However, there are other Paiskim which hold that there's a way to kasher it by cleaning the oven well with any type of oven cleaner, Easy Off or whatever, something similar to that. And whatever's burnt, you don't need to scrub off the black spots. And whatever, if it's burnt, it's burnt. There's no need to worry about it. Just to go clean it well, and then turn the oven on to the highest temperature for a half an hour. And if it's possible, again, also, before you kasher it, not to use it with chametz for 24 hours beforehand. However, this will kasher the oven itself, but the racks in the oven will not get kashered this way. So either it needs to be kashered by a torch, or if your neighbor has a self-clean oven, you can ask them to put this into their self-clean oven when they kasher their oven, or to buy new ones, or you bring it to one of these stands, they may be able to kasher it. If someone is really stuck, so then they could leave it in when they turn on the oven high and will kasher it also. But the chatchila, it's probably better to kasher it in another way. Okay, hot plates. Hot plates, just clean it well. Clean the hot plates well and cover it with thick foil and that's enough. Microwaves, we in general, we do not kasher microwaves for Pesach. For a few reasons. It's difficult to clean it, so it's very questionable. Certain ones, if we have to kasher it for Pesach. So in general, we don't kasher microwaves for Pesach. Someone feels that they need to cash their microwaves and then speak to a Rav. Now, there are other objects around the house, like rings. There's no need to cash the rings. However, if possible, so you don't come in contact with chametz, with ha-chametz, for a day before Pesach. Computers, you just have to spray it and clean it well again. Toys. So being that children put toys in the mouth, so you don't want them to come to eat even a small amount of chametz. So if it's toys that are lying around the house throughout the year, it's possible that there's some chametz stuck to it, a small amount even. And now on Pesach, they may put it by their mouth or in their mouth, and they'll come to eat it. To go and wash and clean all the toys, that's going to be a big hassle. So either you buy a few new toys for them on Pesach, or just clean a few toys and try to work with that. Those toys which they don't put to their mouths, then again, it's enough just to wipe it with a wet cloth with some soap, and that's enough. A high chair tray should be washed well, making sure to clean every spot, and that's enough. You don't have to cover it, it's fine. If it's possible to get new bottles or sippy cups, since it goes into the baby's mouth, of course it's better to. However, as long as they were used with cold liquids only, it's not necessary to get new ones. And the same thing with a pacifier. If it's possible to get a new pacifier, it's better. However, if you found the right pacifier and this finally the baby's takes this pacifier, you don't want to have to start trying a new one. So then kashering is also an option over here. You just boil up some hot water, drop it in the hot water, and you can kasher it, and it's fine. Now during the year, it's not so common to kasher utensils. Here and there, maybe something became treif, so we'll kasher it. However, it's more widespread to kasher kelim for Pesach. We do find that it's better to buy new utensils, but again, each person should only do what they can afford. And that's why we find here in Yerushalayim especially, you'll see on every corner, these Hagolas Kelim agents doing Hagolas Kelim. But one has to be careful where they go to kasher the Kelim, because a lot of times there's simple things that they're not being careful about, and the Hagolah is not going to be a good Hagolah. It's best to not use the kelim for 24 hours before kashering. Before kashering whatever kelim it is, one needs to clean it well, which means to make sure there's no chametz or any dirt stuck to it. If someone's not sure if this is cold dirt or not dirt, you could ask the Rav. If it's just a stain, which you don't feel anything, just a stain, that's not a problem. And then the minig is there are certain kelim which you can do in your own house. You don't have to go anywhere. You take a pot of water, you put it on the fire, bring it to a boil. When it's boiling and bubbling, then you can drop in the keli that you want to kasher for Pesach. And then if you could take it out, so then you rinse it off with cold water. Sometimes it's hard to take it out because it's boiling hot water. But if one does have a way of taking it out, then you rinse it off with cold water. If it's a big keli, they can't put in at one shot. So hagolas kelim could be done half at a time. You can put half the kli in first and then the other half. By tzvilas kelim, when we tevel kelim, then it has to be the whole piece, has to be submerged in the water at once. Now, where is it common to do Hagolas Kelim? So, we have certain... So, first of all, Hagolas Kelim, it could be only done on Kelim made from metal. Kelim made from glass or plastic, we do not kasher for Pesach. we're knowing even if during the year we do kasha plastic, but for Pesach, the minig is not to kasha plastic. And China dishes also we don't kasha. China we don't kasha. And Ashkenazim don't kasha glass for Pesach either. Or we don't use the same glass. We have separate glasses for Pesach. Now, anything that was used on the Shabbos table, like a silver Kiddush cup or a wine decanter made of metal, even though it was only used with cold, it was just wine, nothing hot in it, nothing chametz ever went into it, but since it was on the table when chametz was being served, so the minig is to kasher. So these are things that one could kasher in their own house. They could put a, if they want to use the same becher, Kiddush cup that they use throughout the year, or if they have a wine decanter or something similar to that made of metal, so then they could do the Gadagal's Kelim at home. That's very simple. So the same thing is also with candlestick trays or vases that were on the table. They do not require any kashering. However, they should be cleaned before using on Pesach. There are some utensils which require more than just hagola, putting it into boiling hot water. Some utensils need lipun, right? Something which was used with hot chametz, with fire alone, without any liquid, that's not enough to put it into a boiling pot of water. It's only if the way the chametz went in was through liquid, then we could take it out with liquid. So the frying pans, which you fried things with no liquid, might have fried chametz or a grill or something like that, where it's just with the fire itself, so that needs to be kashered with fire, with like a blowtorch, and then you'll have to bring it to one of those places where they do these kashering. Now, medicines, when it comes to medicines and cosmetics, so medicines which are in the form of pills or capsules, they do not, there's no issue of chametz on Pesach, even though there's many lists and books about the different ones, but if it's a pill or a capsule, it's not a problem. Syrups, especially those for children with a sweet taste, that should have a hechsher for Pesach, but keep in mind that sometimes it's just the issue of kidneys, and if we're dealing with someone who's not well, there's room to be lenient, and so one should find out beforehand if this is a question of chametz, a question of kidneys, and then speak to a rav if there's a need for leniency. Ointments and cream are bitter tasting and therefore also not an issue. Body soaps and shampoo do not require a special hechsher for Pesach. But those things that go into the mouth, like toothpaste, mouthwash, or lipstick, so that should have a hechsher for Pesach. But otherwise, makeup, perfume do not need a hechsher for Pesach. Or if you have a lipstick, maybe start a new lipstick or wipe off the end of the lipstick. Because that's something that goes in the mouth. And again, you don't want even a mash of chametz to go in. Now, after the bedikah is done, we do bittel. We're mevatel the chametz. The idea of the bittel of chametz is that any chametz which may belong to us should be hefker, should be free, that we don't want to have any ownership of it, and it should be viewed to us as dirt. It's worthless. That's what bittul is about. And it's important that the women also should say the bittul, but they must understand what they're saying. And that's basically what we're saying. We're saying that it should be hefker, and we're saying that it should be ka'afradara, means like the dirt on the ground. It's bad to say. You could say it in English, or whatever language you understand it in. That's the best thing. I'll just mention now, before we get to questions, just a few things that negate to the Seder. So, obviously, there's also, it's on the women to prepare for the Seder. And as much as possible, all the preparations for the Seder should be done before the Seder, before the husband comes home from a shul, so that everyone will be able to sit down to the Seder right away, and you'll be able to spend the right amount of time and the proper time at the Seder. Now, even though women are not chayiv in haseba, maybe some women that do haseba, but most women do not do haseba. However, they still need to sit when they're drinking the wine or eating the matzah. They need to sit in a comfortable way. Not that they're half in the kitchen, half in the dining room. There's still a mitzvah of haseba, which is to sit in a comfortable way. Now, obviously, sometimes the lady is busy with the children or with the food or whatever it may be. So she should make sure to at least hear Kiddush. And then it's important also the Esser Makos, to be part of the Esser Makos, to hear and to be joined in for the Esser Makos. And then at the end of Magid, when we speak about Rav Gamliel explains the reason for the three important mitzvahs of Pesach, Matzah, and Marah. So also they should be there for that, or read it, and read it in a language that they understand. And from there until after drinking the second kais with the brachas that we say and the halal we say, because there's a mitzvah of kriyas halal. Ladies also chayv in that mitzvah of kriyas halal, which is thanking Hashem for all the nisim He has done for us, bringing us out of Mitzrayim, making us His nation, and bring us closer to Him, to give us the Torah and appreciating everything He continues to do for us throughout the generations. For the Dalit Kaisais, women l'chatchila could drink grape juice. They do not need to drink wine. And the chayv in the achilas matzah, afikoymin. If it's difficult to drink wine to drink the grape juice or to eat the matzah, there are small shiurim. When it comes to drinking the Dalit Kaisais, so 3.3 ounces is like the best. 3.3 ounces, which is not that much. If 3.3 is difficult, then you can go down to 2.9. And if 2.9 ounces is difficult, you can even go down to 2.4 ounces. And if that's difficult, then speak to a Rav. Eating matzah. So at least if you have hand matzah, so probably a quarter of the matzahs is already enough. If you eat a little more, it's better. But for mitzvah matzah, but again, the smaller shiurim which are there for those that have difficulties, and if we're mekayim all the mitzvahs correctly, so Nisan is a special time for the geula. And we'll be zeichet to the geula be'ezus Hashem. Okay, any questions? Yeah.
When kashering the stovetop, is it better? I didn't understand. Is it better to use a blech that's usually used for chametz or usually used for Pesach?
If you have a Pesach blech, it's better.
It is better.
Yeah, but if you don't have one, then you could use a chametz one as long as it's clean, or you can borrow ours.
Okay.
Yeah.
For Hagalas Kelim, you should use a chametz pot or a Pesach pot.
It doesn't make a difference. Yeah.
Anything that you're selling, there's no
feeling
cleaning at all.
That's right. And then, let's say there's a room or cabinet or place that you can close off, and you're renting out that part to the guy. So then you don't have to clean it at all.
Even if you don't sell hummus.
So that's another thing. Those that have the meaning not to sell real hummus, like bread, cookies, and cakes, and then you'll just get rid of the bread, cookies, and the cake. But you don't have to start emptying out and looking for little crumbs. And I was like this. Let's make it clear. The cleaning is in rooms where hummus was brought into, and you will be using it on Pesach. Those rooms that you'll be using on Pesach, that's where we're cleaning for what? We're looking for pieces of chametz that are the size of a kezias, or smaller than kezias, but they're not dirty, and I might come to eat them by mistake. But as soon as they're dirty and lying around in a crack or stuck somewhere where no one's pulling it out and putting it into their mouth, there's no problem. Okay? Yeah.
Things like shampoo that have actual chametz in them, if you're not eating it, it's okay that it's chametz?
Yeah. Again, there are different opinions. This is my opinion.
And a new lipstick is okay? It does not need a heksher as long as it's new?
Yeah, but if you could get one with a heksher, it's better.
Better.
Because it goes in your mouth and you could lick it and it could go in with food or something like that.
And any perfume, even though it is alcohol, no problem.
Right.
Creams, perfumes, no problem.
Correct.
Well, any cabinets that I'm going to close for Pesach, do, I don't have to, so that means I don't have to clean it?
Right.
Even if there's crumbs inside.
Right. I'll give you a suggestion. If you do plan on doing spring cleaning, don't tell your husband that you're doing Pesach cleaning. Because then it's going to frustrate him. Because he's going to tell you Pesach cleaning is just looking for chametz. So tell him you're doing spring cleaning and then maybe he'll help you out with the spring cleaning. Otherwise, it's going to be complicated. So you're doing spring cleaning and he's doing Pesach cleaning and it's just going to cause friction. Yeah. Let's see. I mean, why would? Okay, I don't see why not. I mean, where's chametz coming to? Oh, I didn't mention a hot water urn. Hot water urn. So hot water urn. It's probably kedai to get a new one for Pesach if one could, because what happens is that a lot of times you warm up. People warm up challah or. Warm up challah or other types of chametz kugels on top of the urn on Shabbos. Sometimes people put it there, and then it's not so simple to kasher. But if you know, and you never used it to put chametz on the hot water urn, or you have a kumkum that didn't really come in contact with chametz and chametz didn't spritz at it from the outside. So then theoretically you could just boil it up with hot water, bring it to a boil, empty it out, and then use it on Pesach. But sometimes, since it's around chametz, it's probably a little safer to get a new kumkum for Pesach, if again, according to what one could afford. Otherwise, they could kasher. Dishwashers, also there's a question about kashering, how to kasher it, so maybe better not to. Yeah. So, for children you could do. For adults, only if you had your clothing washed beforehand, and now you ran out of clothing, so what you'll need for yontif you could do. Yeah. Again, if it never really came in contact with chametz, then it should not be a problem. The olam's night to like give it in to get a new one, and it's a good excuse to get a new one. So people do it, but you don't have to.
What are you not allowed to do after chatzos or
aganta? Okay, so you're not supposed to do any. You're not supposed to do it's more or less the same halachas as chomayit. Anything which is considered work on chomayit, you're not supposed to do. Erev Pesach, you have to chatzos. It's Erev Pesach. Other Yom Tovim doesn't have this din, but Erev Pesach has this halacha. However, if let's say there's a dress that you need to hem or mend for Yontif, so you'll be able to still do that.
Ironing also?
Yeah, ironing is fine. Ironing is fine. Yeah. 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 I don't see why it should be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we have, let's say, a vent on the ceiling on top of the stove. Is there
so just clean it well. It should not be a problem. Because usually steam goes up, doesn't come down. Mm-hmm. Unless you know that by you it gathers moisture and then drips. But otherwise, it's going up. It's not coming back into your food. So it should not be a problem. So just clean it well, and that's enough.
And I could use it.
Yeah. And where you put the dishes to dry also, just go over with a wet cloth. It's no problem. You're always putting anyways clean dishes there to dry, so it should not be a problem. Yeah.
So when you're pressuring the faucet with the sink, it doesn't matter? You probably maybe need to do the faucet first and then do the sink?
It would make sense.
Okay. And then the self-cleaning oven, if you put everything together and it's very tough,
it's fine. Because it turns hot. Everything turns hot.
But with Haggala,
Haggala does, right? Because Haggala, the hot water has to reach all the parts of the of the utensils, so you should put it one at a time. And if you're doing more than one by a gala, so you have to be careful, because sometimes you put in one, two, and then the water starts boiling, so you have to wait until it reboils, and then you put in the next one.
What does the rub hold about a kashim, a faucet that pulls out, has a pipe inside with a rubber coil?
I think you just wash it down.
No, the inside is rubber, and the outside is metal, and we use it for hot water for chametz during the year.
But chametz doesn't really get in there. As
so you
I think so. Yeah.
Flavored floss, like mint or grape.
Again, if you can get anything that goes in the mouth, if you can get what that you know is kosher for Pesach, it's better.
Now, yeah. Polish
remover?
Should be sold?
No.
No.
No. No one's. It's no.
We know in my house.
No. No dogs didn't eat it either. It's not wrong. Okay. What? Fine.